The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with you all. Amen. The word for consideration today is written in John, in the first chapter, reading there in verses 43 to 51. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." He then added, "I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." So far the text. In the name of Jesus, the King of grace and glory, dearly beloved Epiphany congregation. O Jesus, King of glory, both David's Son and Lord, your rule endures forever, and heaven is your throne. Help that in earth's dominions, from pole to farthest pole, your reign may spread salvation to each benighted soul. So we just sang in one of our very special Epiphany hymns, a hymn that praises God for the revelation of Jesus as our Lord and King. That is the message, you know, of the Epiphany season. That word Epiphany means to reveal, to make known. And our text likewise can well be described as a very beautiful Epiphany text, because it tells us all about how Jesus made known his glory as Savior to his disciples, and in particular to the man whose name was Nathanael. And then we hear Nathanael breaking forth in that joyous confession of faith when he met Jesus. "You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." We pray that this confession may grow also in our hearts with swelling tones as we this morning ponder this Epiphany story of Jesus and Nathanael, noting first how Nathanael found Jesus and then how Jesus found Nathanael. So who was Nathanael? According to information that's contained in the scriptures, we learn that he was one of those whom Jesus would soon choose to be one of the 12 disciples. He is also called Bartholomew in the other Gospels. It's the same man. His hometown was Cana, a village located about 10 miles to the north and east of Nazareth, where Jesus grew up. In a piece of information that we are provided in our text concerning Nathanael is that before he ever set eyes on Jesus, he was a true believer. And that's why he, when he came to see Jesus and the Lord saw him approaching, Jesus said, "Here is a true Israelite in whom nothing is false." Jesus was saying that he was in faith just like Israel or Jacob. You may remember the story of Jacob in the Old Testament, particularly that part of his life where he was returning home to Palestine from his uncle Laban's with all of his belongings and livestock and family that had accumulated over many years while he was up there at Haran. And as Jacob thought about how good the Lord had been to him, despite his unworthiness, his sins, he was overcome with a sense of, I don't deserve this. He poured out his soul to the Lord in prayer. I'm not worthy of the least of all the mercies and truth that you've shown to your servant. And that night along the way, as he approached a river that was called the Jabbok, he was all alone on the banks of that river, and a mysterious man appeared and engaged Jacob in a wrestling match that lasted all night long. And when the sun started to peek up over the horizon in the morning, the man said, "Let me go. It's daybreak." Jacob replied, "I won't, unless you bless me." The man then asked, "What's your name?" "Jacob," he said. And the man then told him, "Your name will no longer be Jacob. It will be Israel, because you have struggled both with God and man and have prevailed." And then he blessed him. And this, of course, was the Lord himself who had appeared to Jacob, Israel, in the form of a man. So when Jesus, then getting back to our text, when he said this concerning Nathanael, that he was a true Israelite, he was saying that he was just like that Jacob, that patriarch in the Old Testament in his faith. He was one who was filled with a profound sense of his unworthiness in the eyes of God, and he knew his sins and all that he deserved on account of them from God. But he had also learned, like Jacob Israel, to cling in faith to the Lord and not let go of the promises of a Savior to come who was to deliver him from his sins and bring him eternal life. And now we see how he found Jesus. It came about actually by a very remarkable chain of events. We read in our text how Jesus had made a decision to leave the territory of Judea, travel up to Galilee, but before he left the area, he invited Philip to follow him. And Philip was so happy to have this invitation from Jesus, so happy to know that this Jesus was the one that God sent to win forgiveness for him and peace with God and heaven's bliss. He just had to find someone to tell the good news to. So with a heart throbbing with excitement, he went and located his friend Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about and the prophets, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph." Nathanael at first was quite skeptical. He said, "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Because he knew the Micah prophecy, which said that the Messiah was to be born in the city of Bethlehem, the town of David. And also bear in mind, as mentioned before, his hometown was Cana, located just a stone's throw from Nazareth. And he knew what kind of a place Nazareth was, how it was possible, he thought, could it be possible for such an insignificant, unsophisticated backwater town that the King of Kings could actually arise out of that city? You notice how Philip did not try to change his mind with logical arguments. Just said, "Come and see." And when Nathanael did that, when he went to see Jesus, lo and behold, by the grace of God and the power of the Spirit working in the Word, he was led to recognize Jesus as the true Messiah of God and exclaimed with joy, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." A lesson that you and I can draw from this is we can be reminded And we can rejoice in the power that Jesus' word has. It possesses, it will always possess the amazing ability to work great and positive things in hearts. It will always be the power of God for salvation of those who believe. By the word of the Lord that we read and study and memorize and reflect on and hear preached at God's house, the Holy Spirit will continue to nurture and strengthen our faith and enable us to grow in our faith in Christ, even unto eternal life. So yeah, Nathanael found Jesus, came to trust in him as the Savior, Messiah. Let's also consider how Jesus found Nathanael. We read here, as I mentioned a few moments ago, that when Jesus saw him, he said about him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." And when it says that Jesus saw Nathanael, that doesn't mean that he just noticed him as a face in the crowd, like when we go to a ball game, we see all the people that are there, or all the shoppers who happen to be at the grocery store when we go there, or all the people driving on the highway that when we're going down the road in our cars. It means that Jesus took special note of Nathanael and that he saw him, like later on, if you remember the story of Jesus, the feeding of the 5,000 when he got out of the boat, he looked at that vast crowd and he saw them as precious sheep whom he loved, who were in need of his good shepherd care, protection, and guidance. And what evidence of his love for this man we see demonstrated by Jesus when he then went on to say, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Now, it wasn't unusual for people in Bible times in those years to gather under trees, especially in the midday when the sun was shining hot overhead, to seek the shade of fig trees, and they would often use that opportunity to pray and meditate, think about the Lord. It's not stated specifically here what Philip was doing under that fig tree, but it's evident that it was something very special that had happened there and that he had been doing. It may have been that Nathanael had showed his true Israelite character by pouring out his heart to the Lord, asking for forgiveness for his sins, because he felt how unworthy he was of all the Lord's kindnesses, like Jacob at the river Jabbok. He may have been praying, "Lord, send your Messiah soon. The time is drawing near, according to Daniel's 70 weeks prophecy, that it should happen soon. The time is here when the Savior of the world is supposed to appear on earth. Make it happen, Lord, and permit me, if it is your will, maybe even to meet him." Don't know if that's exactly what he was praying about or meditating on, but whatever it was, whatever happened under that tree, Jesus knew all about it, even though he was not there. And now the first words he spoke to Nathanael when he came to him at the invitation of his friend Philip were, "I saw you while you were under the fig tree." Like he was saying, "I heard it all, Nathanael. I knew what was in your heart, what you were praying about." And it was in this way that the Lord found Nathanael and satisfied the deepest longings of his heart, dispelling whatever misgivings he may have had about Jesus being the Messiah, that he truly was the mighty God prophesied by Isaiah of old, and overwhelmed by that special epiphany, that revelation of Jesus' Savior glory, he exclaimed, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel." Kind of reminds me of what another skeptic and doubter said later on week after Easter, Thomas, when the Lord appeared to him, showed him his hands and his side, and Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." Dear friends, have we not also had similar epiphanies in our lives? We might even call them fig tree experiences. When you think back on your life, haven't you noticed how there have been days and times when you poured out your soul to the Lord in prayer, times when you maybe were overwhelmed like Jacob, Israel, with a sense of your unworthiness before God, your holy Lord, and the many goodnesses that he's shown to you in your life, all undeserved. And like Jacob at the river Jabbok, maybe you prayed and prayed and prayed about something, and then you realized how the Lord was already answering your prayer by filling your heart with his peace and joy through his gospel promises. That is another of the beautiful lessons that we may draw from this text. A reminder that Jesus has the key to every heart. No one knows our needs more than he does, and no one understands us as he does, and he always adapts his grace to every situation in our life according to what he knows is best at any given time. What a comfort it is knowing that. Turning to our text again, we note how Jesus, having revealed his Savior glory to Nathanael, giving him that great epiphany that he was his omniscient Lord and Messiah, went on to tell him, "You believe me because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than this." And added, "I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The Lord was saying to Nathanael that when he gathered his 12 disciples around him, embarked on his ministry, that Nathanael, as he went about with Jesus during his ministry, he was going to see some very spectacular things. He would watch as the Savior preached the words of eternal life to great crowds of people, filling their hearts with his joy and peace through the gospel. He'd witness miracles like changing water to wine at his hometown of Cana at a wedding. He'd give sight to blind Bartimaeus of Jericho. He would raise up a four-day dead Lazarus. He'd witness Jesus' arrest in the shadows of Gethsemane. He would see him die on the cross in the darkness of Good Friday. He would see Jesus resurrected along with the other disciples and his glorious ascension to reclaim the glory that was his before the world was as the King of Kings. Encouragement that we can draw from this passage of our text is the assurance from Jesus that he's going to enable us to see with eyes of faith and with increasing clarity the wonders of his gospel grace, all the things that he's prepared for those who love him. As we allow ourselves to be found by Jesus in his word in this new year, in our studying of it, reading it, hearing it, as we come to Jesus and find him as Nathanael did in the Word, the place that he always promises to speak to us, our whole life will be filled with joy, a deep down joy even in the midst of trials, and our life will be lived under an open heaven. All of our working and our resting, all of our days of sorrow and celebrating, all of our fighting, the good fight of faith in this world torn by sin, it all will be done under an open heaven. Sin closed heaven, Jesus opened it up for us. And finally, when our journey on earth ends, the Lord will grant us the unspeakable joy of ascending to heaven, where we shall see him face to face and live in his glorious presence forever. Till that day, may our prayer be Grant us grace to see you, Lord, mirrored in your holy word. May our lives and all we do imitate and honor you, that we like to you may be at your great epiphany on the last day, and may praise you ever blessed, God in man, made manifest. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, uphold with your spirit free.